One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 64. We're thankful for the Lord dealing with so many girls already in the service, and some coming to be saved, and I'm glad for that. In Isaiah chapter 64, I believe that I'll read the entire chapter. There's only 12 verses. You see as I read this chapter what verse you think that I'm going to preach on tonight. Get interested in the Word of God. Chapter 64 and verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for thee. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we're all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? You know the picture? He said, Jerusalem, that used to be the picture of godliness and holiness, he said, it's been ravaged. Walls are down, which means the convictions are gone. Social standards are torn up. The high principles of spiritual living are gone. Idolatry set in. That's the picture of America today. That's exactly where we are today. The church, same thing. And the school, same thing. And the home, same thing. And society. Now then, you know the text we're going to have tonight for our message is verse 6. We're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now that's some picture of man, isn't it? We're right there tonight. Man's got on his filthy rags. Cigarettes, liquor, cursing, profanity, home breaking, immorality, all of it, filthy rags. But I'm not through there. The best woman in this town, and the best man in this town, and the purest girl in this town, that's depending on their purity and their righteousness and their goodness in the sight of God, that's filthy rags. Amen. I mean, the best you've got is filthy rags. Did you know you don't have to drink liquor to go to hell? Did you know you don't have to cuss and smoke cigarettes and take dope and break up another home, and you don't have to live immorally to go to hell? Listen, did you know all you've got to do in order to go to hell is just nothing? Now, people say, well, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be lost? Exactly nothing. Just stay where you are. If you live the way you was born, you'll be in hell in the next few years. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Let me give you something else that sometimes astounds people that haven't heard it before. Did you know that nothing but bad people go to heaven? All the good people go to hell. Did you know that? Now, don't let that confuse you. Think about that for a little bit. Oh, you say, who are you talking about? Did you know you've got to get bad before you can ever get ready to go to heaven? I mean, you've got to get wretched before you can get blessed. I mean, you've got to get rugged and wretched and sorry, and you've got to have the weight of sin on your heart and life. You know, you didn't get bad when you got 10 or when you got 12. A lady called me and she said, I've got a little girl 12 years old. She's gone as deep in sin as any woman could go. She said she's the most wicked little girl that I've ever seen or known of in my life. That's her own daughter. Immoral, filthy, dope, liquor, every bit of it in a little 12-year-old girl. She said, Brother Olaf, I'm helpless before the onslaughts in my little girl's life. But Daddy called me. He said, I've got two little boys. I can do nothing with either one of them. One of them's 7 and one of them's 8. You know why? A mother deserted them. A wicked, ungodly mother deserted them. Those little boys have not had a sign of a mother for 5 years since they were 2 years old. I'll guarantee you that woman's facing judgment on down the road. The wages of sin till death. I'm coming back to what I said. Did you know that people that are so good that they don't need to be saved, you know how good they are? They're good enough to go to hell. All the good people go to hell and the bad people go to heaven. And there's no need to misunderstand that. You know when the fellow came to Jesus one day and said, good master, he said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. You don't believe I'm God. You don't exactly as God. And therefore, I couldn't be good. And then, you know, the man came to him and said, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, you know what the book says. Just go by the book. And he gave him the commandments. Well, he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Well, he said, one thing thou likest, or one thing likest thou yet, go sell out. You know, the two great commandments, you know what they are? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. All that's within you, you're to love God. He said, the second just about like that, love your neighbor as yourself. Man said, well, I've kept all these from my youth up. Well, he said, all right, go sell all you got and give it to your neighbor. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't suppose I love him that well. He went away sorrowfully. You know that? No, I tell you, dear friends, most people are deep-rooted in this old world right down here. They love this old world right down here. I don't know why you want to love something you're going to have to leave. You know, I see all the time this sign on the cars and stickers, you know, America, either love it or leave it. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if you don't love the Lord, you'll leave him. I mean, you'll not stay with him if you don't really love him. Now, I said people that are good, and they'd say, well, I pay my debts, and I've joined the church, and I'm an Episcopalian, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Baptist, or a Catholic, or something else. I don't amount to that much. You know, I tell you, if you want to make a bad impression, you pull your religious rank on me when you come up. I mean, people come up and say, I want you to know that I am full gospel. I said, well, me too. An old boy picked up out here on Highway 44 one day, and he hadn't got to sit down good. He said, I'm Jehovah's Witness. I said, put her there. Me too. I said, when did Jesus come into your heart and save you from your sin? He said, I'll get off this next corner. That's the way to burn them out. I guarantee you, you take a bunch of those fellas you know that don't really believe in Jesus Christ, they're saved. Put Jesus to them. That'll divide them. I mean, that'll fix them. I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He died on the cross to save me from sin, and he redeemed me, and he did it all. He's done the saving. He's done the keeping. I'm going to heaven completely by Jesus Christ. I got a completely ticket that was paid, I mean, and punched, and everything's been completed in him. And so you've got to get bad enough. That reminds me of the lady that called me up on the phone. She made this request. She said, Brother Wolf, will you come over to my house and help me get my husband lost? That's right. That's what he needed. She said, I cannot make him know he's lost. He thinks he's all right. He doesn't live a Christian life. He thinks he's good enough. And people say, well, if your church members go to heaven... My dear friends, I got news for you. Most of the church members are not going to heaven. Now, I'm not the final judge, but I do inspect fruit. And I've got sense enough, brother, to tell one of those peach trees from these mesquite trees. Now, when I woke up that little peach tree like I did there, and I pulled off a nice piece, it wasn't, don't look at me funny, brother. Let me tell you something. I'm going to inherit some fruit out here. I believe in bearing fruit, but I picked off a little peach. Wasn't real ripe, but I knew it was a peach. You ought to see him, brother. He's been out there in that feast grove. I'm just going to give up on getting too much fruit unless I sleep in the watermelon patch. I think I'm going to put me a little pumpkin out there when those things begin to get ripe, and we're going to guard those. Brother, I want somebody to stand guard every time the sun goes down. I don't believe in bacon, but I want us to load some shotgun shells with bacon rinds or something here. And we had people just haul our watermelons off, and they're for our friends. But one thing about it, I can tell a watermelon vine from a gourd vine. You know, we preach on death in the pot, got those old gourds and shredded them up and like to kill the fellas around the preachers too. And they were eating wild gourds. Now, I believe that you cannot bear fruit until you become the right kind of a vine. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. And he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now I want you to get my text again. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Did you know that? Did you know that everything we do? You'd say, Brother Roloff, I want to ask you a question. And I'm preaching the gospel now. You know this is going to be the gospel. Just simple and plain. And I'm preaching it. There are people in this building that have never heard the simplicity that's in Christ. Therefore, the people that come out here are just going to have to listen to it, just like we put it out to the girls and the rest of them. But it'll be good for the adults. Now, you'd say, Brother Roloff, I've lived in sin, but I'm through with it. I tell you what, I'm 16, and I'm through with my cigarettes and my drinking, my immorality and the dope and, well, the lying and the cheating and the disobedience. And I'm never, now listen, if I, from this day hence, if I can go the rest of my life and I never commit another sin, never. I mean, I live perfect from here on. I'll never do wrong again. And would that get me into heaven? No, sir. You'll go to the same hell that the reprobate goes, that the prostitute goes. You'll go to the same old devil's hell. You'd say, well, I don't understand, Brother Roy. Two things. Number one, I don't think you're going years without sinning. I don't believe you will. But if you could, I'll give you the credit. If you can, let me ask you this. What do you do about the sins you've already committed? The Bible says you're born in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive. What are you going to do about those? For instance, my friend back there has been for many years. Suppose brother comes up to me and he said, Brother Olaf, he said, I think a good deal of you. And I said, I appreciate that, brother. I said, it's mutual. He said, I owe you $1,100. He said, I just owe you $1,100. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about that. I know you kindly saved up and you let me have $1,100. But he said, you know, I got my mind made up. I haven't maybe done the right thing about it, but I've just made up my mind that I'm just going to be honest. I'm never going to borrow any more money. And if you don't mind, forget about that $1,100. I said, that's noble of you. He said, I tell you what you do. I owe it, but you forget it. I'll forget it. And I'll promise you this. I'll never borrow any more money. And I'm going to go straight. And I'm going to live right. And I'm going to do right. And you'll never be bothered with me borrowing any more money if you just forget that $1,100. Well, I said, I appreciate you, but I said, I believe in order to be perfectly honest, you ought to kind of work on that $1,100. He doesn't owe me $1,100. No, he doesn't. But now that's exactly what you say when you go to the Lord. Now, Lord, I want you to forget about my past, and I'm going to try to straighten up and fly right. Well, in the first place, you can't. But even if you could, the Bible said every good thing you do without Christ is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Would you like me to give you a picture of filthy rags? Did back in those Bible days, you know, the people, there was a lot of unsanitary conditions. I mean, the people had sores. Oh, Isaiah talks about running sores, weren't even bound up or mollified with ointment and so forth. But old sores be all over the ancient people. And they'd take a bunch of old rags and they'd wrap around those old sores. Just all up and down the arms, maybe over the legs, and maybe around an old sore over here on the neck. There's old rags that stay there till they were matted and stuck. And he said, after a while, you know, we just kind of peel them off and pull them off. And now he said, that's what you look like without Christ. You look like a bunch of old festered up rags, stinking, filthy, diseased rags without Jesus. That's the gospel I'm preaching to you tonight. And you think you're going to get to heaven just by joining the church and getting baptized. You think you're going to do better and you're going to make, you'll never make it without Christ. You think you just because you went through the catechism or the Lutheran school or the Baptist study course or something else, let me tell you something, you're going to have to be born again. You've got to get saved. I mean, have a personal experience. with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, I'm coming up to something that's interesting. Did you know what? In order for you to go to heaven, God demands holiness. Because the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now then, you'd say, well, Brother Olaf, does that mean that I've got to be holy? It certainly does. He said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You'd say, well, do you believe that I'm going to go to heaven by my holiness? No, wait a minute. You missed the first scripture. You don't have any holiness. Why, our holiness comes from Christ. It's a gift. Now then, I ought to live holy, not in order to go to heaven, but because I'm going to heaven. I don't live holy in order to be saved. I live holy because I am saved. I don't try to live clean because it's going to save me. I'll live clean because I am saved. See what I'm talking about? Let me give it to you another way. Did you know that sinning doesn't make you a sinner? But being a sinner makes you sin. And that's it right there. You know the reason you sin? Some of you say, Brother Roloff, and bless your heart. You're coming along. God's blessing you. But you'd say, well, I just don't understand, Brother Roloff. I just keep on doing things I ought not to do and it just bothers me to death. Well, that's good. You didn't even bother you. Well, you just go to bed and say, well, man, I lived it up. Well, wait till tomorrow night. Take off again. But, oh, it's different now, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, something gets kicking around big as an elephant on the inside, you know. You say, oh, me. I mean, I got a pain I can't locate. I mean, that's different. There's something wrong. That's right. The Lord's dealing with you, see. When sin gets black and hell gets hot and heaven becomes real and the Bible begins to punch. And you know, one day when Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus, and you remember old Saul is coming along there, and boy, he's breathing out threatenings. Boy, just like an old mad bull, he's snorting along there. You know, boy, he said, wait till I get over there. Wait till I get over there. I'll tell you, said that bunch of Nazarenes. Boy, can you see him? Brother, was he mad? Why, listen, he was a religious leader. Oh, he was somebody. I want you to know, man, he had recognition. He had the papers in his pocket. He'd gone to the chief priest and the religious brass hats and said, listen, we got rid of old Deacon Stephen out there and said, might as well make a clean swipe, the whole bunch. Let's go get the rest of them. Said, give me some papers. Said, give me a legal document. They said, we'll do it. Boy, I tell you what, you can get some legal documents to go to the devil in hell. Do you know that? And you can think that over. If the state's run by ungodly people, what they do is going to be ungodly. There never has been any state go very long before they got ungodly. You put that down, and all you got to do is read the book of Psalms, chapter 2, and the book of Acts, about chapter 3, and you'll find out where they were against God and against His Christ. That's where it's going to be when this thing winds up, too. You watch and see. But Saul, breathing out threatenings, going down the road, boy, he could hardly wait. He could hardly wait. He said, you wait till I get that little band. I'll chain him out, drag him back over here. We'll give him something to think about coming in here trying to tear up our religion. Why, he said, I've got to do God a favor. I've got to help God blot that bunch out. I mean, we're going to get rid of them. That's right. Why, a bunch of little old Nazarenes and little old sect. Said, I'll get them. About that time, a big light said, phew. And Saul said, I'm blind as a bat. All right, down he went. And he heard somebody saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he gave religion's answer, didn't he? That's exactly what religion's got to say. Who art thou, Lord? If he'd have known the Lord, he wouldn't ask such a silly question, would he? That's just where you girls were when you came. You remember that? Brother Olaf preached Jesus. You said, who is the Lord? Well, I said, it's Jesus. Oh, I thought it was my church, you know. I thought it was my religion. I thought he's doing better. No! Jesus. He said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I like this. This is sweet. He said, I'm Jesus. Wasn't that a simple answer? Boy, if then some of these moderns, he said, I'm the God Almighty. I'm the infinite. I'm the abstract. You know, I'm somebody way off up yonder that you can't get to. Oh, no. He said, I'm Jesus. I'm introducing myself to you. Don't you like the gospel? Isn't it simple? I tell you, isn't it simple enough for all? He said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And so he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he said, Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? Huh? Now, really, what you don't like is Jesus. Amen. You're kicking against the pricks. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, it's just as simple as it can be. You know what they had back there then, don't you? Oxen. They didn't have Lincoln Continentals. They didn't have Cadillacs. They didn't have great big semis to go down the road. They had an ox, cart, or wagon. Put two old oxen up there, you know. No old oxen's are strong. The old legs are strong. Oxen are stubborn and lazy. That's two things you can figure on an ox being. You ever heard anybody say stubborn as ox? Huh? Lazy sometimes as ox. But those old ox, you know, they're pulling long. The fella's driving them, he maybe looked at his watch or the sundial or something, and he said, we're not going to make it. And so he took that old, he had a goad. You know what a goad is? That's the deal with sharp stick on the end of it. I mean, it's just something. Now, and boy, you know what he'd do? He'd reach up, out, you know, that old ox be just dragging along. And boy, all of a sudden he'd say, pim, that old ox. And it'd make him so mad that old ox get mad. You know what he'd do? He'd say, wham. Yeah. Now, that's what he'd do. He said he'd kick it. I would have, too. Somebody stick me like that. And so that old ox had kicked. He said, Saul, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to kick against the goads, against the pricks, see? And you know what God is doing? God is putting the goads to him. Old Saul walking along, and God, you know, like that, and hit him with a spiritual goad. You know where the goad came from? I think Deacon Stephen. He stood out there, you know, and Stephen said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Oh, that's acting like Jesus. That's just about Jesus, wasn't it? In other words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he saw the glory of God. I mean, he looked up. The Bible said he looked up, and evidently Jesus was in heaven, and he was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he knows everything. And he glanced down there, and he said, oh, look at that. My first deacon, they're killing him. He said, excuse me, Father, I believe I better stand. I can just see him walking up to the banister of glory and looking over and waving and said, Deacon, come on. I'll be here to meet you when you get here. And brother, he saw the glory of God. He did. He looked up and saw Jesus, and he saw some wonderful things. Hard to kick against the pricks. And that's what happens. Nearly everybody comes here. Did you know this? Nobody ever gets saved till they go through a crisis. Every old sinner. He's got to go through a crisis. That's all there is to it. He's got to go through it. You're not going to get saved. Now, you might, bunch of y'all have been trying to fake your way. You know, you've told all about it. You said, well, I just thought I better just put on that religious robe, you know, and make them leave me alone. But them gold still come, didn't it? Yes, sir. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Now then, I want to give you some things that's amazing. Number one, God demands holiness, and God demands the impossible. God demands it. And yet, look at me. He just told me that I was worse than filthy rags. How can I do the impossible? How can I ever get to him? God demands holiness. You see, that's where Jesus steps in. Jesus comes up to me, and he sees me all down in the mouth, and I said, oh, me, it's horrible. The demands I can't meet. I might as well forget about it. Here I am. He's already told me how bad it was. He said, I was born in iniquity and sin of my mother conceived me. None good, no, not one. He said, I'm full of lies. He said, that's like an old open sepulcher full of dead men's bones. And I said, him talking to me like that, and then tell me I got to get holy to get to heaven. How in the world can I do it? That's impossible. And about that time, Jesus steps up. He said, what's your trouble? I said, well, I need some holiness. I ain't got any. I mean, I'm plumb out. I mean, if I've ever had my character written up in a book, God put it down in the Bible. And I'm in a terrible fix. I'm condemned. I guess I'm the rottenest fellow that ever walked on the face of the earth. I mean, I'm in a horrible mess. I mean, I'm through. I guess I just might as well just throw up my hands and tell the devil, come on, get me, because I can't make it. And he said, wait a minute. I bring you good news. I said, what is it? He said, it's me. I said, what? He said, it's me. He said, I want you to check my record, if you will. My purity, holiness, righteousness, kindness, humility, love, compassion. I said, where's the sin side? He said, ain't no sin side. I never have sin. Well, I said, well, that's good. So much for you. You can go back to heaven, I guess. But what about me? I said, this old Lester Roloff. Look at me. I've been in a bad fix ever since I got born. He said, I know it. If you get quiet a minute, I'll tell you something. I said, I'll do it. And he said, look here. He said, would you show me your record? Well, I said, I don't want to, but I guess I will. So I reached in my pocket, pulled out old dirty records, you know, unfolded the thing, and I ain't going to read that. That'd be yours, too. Just name it. There it is. Put it on down. Well, he said, I'll have to admit, that's sure a bad record. He said, they tell you, it sure smells bad and looks bad and is bad. I said, I know it. Don't rub it in. He said, but wait a minute, I've got good news for you. He said, are you in a swapping mood? I said, swapping mood? I said, I've always been a swapper. I'd be glad. I said, what you want to swap? He said, I'd like to swap my record for yours.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.